Manx Radio's update with Beth Espy.
Well, first of my good evening. Welcome to the programme where we'll take you through some of the main stories that have been hitting the headlines today. Coming up, an MHK questions what he describes as government's habit of going back to the cupboard. We'll find out exactly what he means in just a few minutes. Also tonight, we're going to hear part of an interview with Holocaust survivor Eva Schloss, recorded when she was on the island back in 2010. Later, we'll find out about a rather unusual visitor with a painful sting that's been appearing on Manx shores. And we'll talk to the remarkable fundraiser who's completed 30 marathons and 3 ultra marathons on consecutive days. We'll also have a look at the weather, the traffic and the travel as well. And if you'd like to get in touch, you can text us. It's 166 177. We'll start as ever with a roundup of the main news headlines with Darren Fastamai.
Conditions have now improved on the island following a yellow weather warning for ice this morning. Out at sea, however, the poor forecast means tonight sailings to Heysham and back is subject to possible disruption or cancellation. A decision is expected shortly. A backbench MHK has criticised governments for falling back on reserves to balance the books. Jason Morehouse of Arbury, Castletown and Maloo describes it as constantly going back to the cupboard. And James Hillier has thanked fans after pulling out of Dakar Rally due to injury.
Could have been worse, you know, this game's dangerous, I knew that, I knew the risks. It's just frustrating to not finish, that was my goal, and not be last. Yeah, rubbish. But anyway, appreciate all the comments and support.
The former TT winner suffered a fractured arm after a low-speed crash in the first stage of the event. To international news, Greenland's Prime Minister has told Donald Trump he can't have control of the island just because he wants to. The US president claims he needs to annex a Danish-controlled territory right now. Fake sexual images produced by the AI chatbot on Elon Musk's X platform has been called absolutely appalling by the UK's technological secretary. Liz Kendall is backing Ofcom to take any enforcement action against Grok over the creation of deepfakes. And Crystal Palace boss Oliver Glasner has refused to answer questions on him being the bookmaker's favourite to be the next Manchester United boss.
I'm Crystal Palace manager and I think it just makes no sense and it's wasted time also for you to ask me any more questions. So I don't talk about any other club than about Crystal Palace.
Glasner is out of contract at the end of the season with United looking to replace the sacked Ruben Amorim. Those are the headlines. News next at 6.
Thanks very much indeed, Darren. So the weather brought to you by Manx Glass and Glazing. And for the first time in a few days, no weather warnings. Largely cloudy with a band of rain expected this evening. That will clear away to isolated showers later on from around about 8 p.m. Those showers will continue overnight. They might be wintry over the hills still. Fresh to strong west or southwest winds. They will become strong to gale force overnight. Minimum temperatures around 2 Celsius for most places. Then at first tomorrow, the risk of a few showers, mainly in the southwest. Otherwise, largely dry, often cloudy, just the odd break to allow the occasional bright or sunny interval, just to remind us what the sun looks like, and those winds will gradually decrease in the afternoon as well. Top temperatures tomorrow around 6 Celsius.
Manx Glass and Glazing can supply and install single, double and triple glazing. Call 674 573 or visit the showroom on the Snugbra Trading Estate.
So you're listening to Update here on Manx Radio, 3.5 minutes past 5, and next month the 2026 budget will be presented to Tim Wald for members' approval, the final one of this current administration. Now, one aspect that attracted criticism 12 months ago is likely to do the same again this time, especially since a Timwell committee has told government that the practice of continuous borrowing against reserves is just plain wrong. Now, John Moss has been talking to chair of that committee, Arbury, Castletown and Maloo MHK, Jason Morehouse.
It's back to what was said by key politicians in the 1980s, that in terms of an economy, it's like a household in terms of we need to be looking at the income that's coming in and the spend. And if we're spending more than the income and we're having to fall back on the reserves every single year.
Wasn't the idea of getting these reserves, though, so that we could, in times that are tough, go to these reserves and use them?
But are we in a position at the moment where times are tough? We had the situation after
people
COVID.
People might say, yes, they are quite tough. Particularly as we've got things like the minimum wage coming in, which is going to put more strain on various businesses, etc. All these sort of things. Yeah, people will say, yeah, we're finding it hard.
And that's exactly what the committee said, John, in terms of we've got a government that's not actually considering the impact of what is happening in the wider economy.
You used to be an economics teacher, so yeah. What should the government be doing?
I think
just leaving the reserves alone?
Yeah, at the time like this, we should be building them up because, you know, we are in a good position and the unexpected does happen. We've had the lockdowns, we've had COVID. It's only 15 years ago, 2009, slightly over 15 years ago, when we had the cut in our revenue sharing agreement.
Yeah, the VAT, the famous VAT.
That was a massive drop.
But reserves are there, presumably, to spend, aren't they? I mean, not all of them, obviously, but a percentage.
But at the same time, if we use the National Insurance Fund that should be allocated to the NHS for a more broad spend, then there's an issue that we're actually balancing the books by falling back on things that really should be there for a rainy day.
That is Jason Morehouse, MHK, who's the chair of that committee. It's the Economic Policy Review Committee. And in December, it made 11 recommendations for change after reviewing the role of the Treasury, the structural deficit, and also the use of reserves. Now, in response to all this, a Treasury spokesperson has told us that Treasury acknowledges the publication of this report, which will be laid before Timward this month. They go on to say, over the course of this administration, the Isle of Man government has established an operational performance and change board to strategically analyse the size and scope of the public service and establish an efficiency and change programme, driving, they say, at least £50 million in efficiency savings over the next 5 years. It goes on to say quarterly reviews of the public service workforce have been made available, demonstrating the significant investment in frontline services, and Treasury has been working with all departments to enable them to remain within their budgets, publishing quarterly management accounts. The increasing strength of the island's reserve, they say, now valued at over £2 billion, can be found on the economic dashboard. And this statement concludes by saying, as this report is due to be debated at the March Timward sitting, it wouldn't be appropriate to comment further at this stage. The government, they say, will consider the committee's views, review the evidence offered, and respond in full through the parliamentary process. And you can find those details in full on the Manx Radio website. It's 7 minutes past five, and over the past couple of days, King Charles has led tributes to Anne Frank's stepsister and Holocaust survivor Eva Schloss, who has died at the age of 96. Now, in 2010, there was an exhibition held in Peel Cathedral. It was called Anne Frank and You, and it was a tribute to the young Jewish girl who, along with her family, hid for years in occupied Netherlands before being betrayed to the Nazis and taken to a concentration camp where she died. The story of her ordeal has been a best-selling book for years. And Eva Schloss came to the island to promote the exhibition here, and at that time she was interviewed on Manx Radio about her own ordeal. Now, I should say at this point, some listeners may find the content of this interview distressing.
We were one day in prison, then we were sent to a holding camp. So after a couple of days being in this holding camp, in the morning our name was called out and we were put on transport in a cattle truck. 100 people pushed in. Terrible journey, as you can imagine. No air, just buckets for toilets, just a bucket for water, nowhere to really sit. And it was May, it was very, very hot. So after about 3-4 days, the train stopped and we heard the doors being opened. Beautiful day with blue sky, and we had to jump down, and wonderful fresh air. And then we saw the sign, Auschwitz. And we knew that was a death camp. I was just 15, my brother had not turned 18 yet, and we thought, well, this is the end of our lives. So you can imagine the next command right away, men and women to different sides. So it was a horrendous farewell with all the men and the fathers and the sons and the mothers saying goodbye to each other. And they were pulled away and they marched away to a different part. So my mother and me entered the camp. Many, many people had to give up their children. So we marched into the camp, into a big, big barrack. The next command undressed completely naked. And the Germans were walking around laughing and poking at us. Again, you can imagine the humiliation of us. Next thing, we were all tattooed. All our hair was shaved, and while this was going on, it took many, many hours. They told us, the family you have been parted with, if you go outside, you will already smell, they're already dead, they've been already gassed.
What an incredible woman she was. That was Eva Schloss, interviewed on Manx Radio when she was over here on the Isle of Man in 2010. You're listening to Update here. It is coming up to 10 past five, and the recent storms have brought quite an unusual visitor to the shoreline of the Isle of Man. Now, resembling jellyfish, Portuguese man-o-war are vivid blue animals, and they've been reported on a number of beaches around the island recently. The Manx Wildlife Trust says while they are fascinating to see, people really do need to admire them from a distance. Lewis has been talking to Marine Officer Dr. Laura Howe.
Portuguese man-o-war are known as Cnidarian. They come from the family of Cnidarian. So similar to jellyfish, but not the same thing. They're actually a group of individual organisms that work together collectively. So some will form the sail, some will form the tentacles and things like that. So they're related to jellyfish in that they have stinging cells, but they're not jellyfish. They're actually hydroids. And they're here because they've drifted here with wind. That big sail that you see on top, that causes them to drift with whatever the prevailing wind is. And obviously that has meant they've come towards us. Well, they're not normally found here, obviously. They're normally found in warmer waters.
You've described it as an unusual visitor to our shoreline. How often do we see Portuguese man-o-war?
Probably every 10 years, maybe. I think I've had reports roughly every 10 years.
And you have put out this reminder. You've mentioned there the stinging cells that they have.
Yeah, they really do pack a very nasty punch and can sting after they've died as well for up to a couple of weeks afterwards. So if you do find them, we would definitely recommend not touching them at all because they really can give you quite a bad sting.
How exciting is it for you when you get reports of something like this?
It's really interesting. It just gives us a bit of an insight as to what is going on in our marine environment. So that's why unusual sightings are always really useful to help us understand what's going on. Obviously, you know, in terms of climate change and things like that, potential for seeing a change in species moving into Manx waters. So unusual sightings that are reported may not be unusual for very much longer. They may become more normal. So it's important that we try and track that kind of thing.
That is Marine Officer with the Manx Wildlife Trust, Dr. Laura Howe, talking to Lewis there about Portuguese man-o-war. We've seen lots of pictures of these on social media over the past few days. And as Laura was saying there, do not go near them because they can sting really badly. I think the advice generally is if you do get stung, you rinse the sting off, you use tweezers to remove any of the tentacles. Don't use your bare hands to do it, and you soak the area in hot water. But you might be well advised to seek some medical attention if you've got any concerns at all. 12 and a half minutes past five. Now, the Isle of Man is not a viable option for a number of providers of financial products. This is according to a financial advisor over here. So currently there are six main mortgage lenders, two life insurance providers, and only one credit card provider. Well, Paul Chase is from Financial Options here in Douglas.
One of the disadvantages we have on the Isle of Man is, or maybe advantages, depending on how you look at it, but we are limited in terms of the credit card options that you can actually have. So if someone has spent money on the credit card that they've got, there's not a great deal of options to be able to actually switch to a 0% or a balance transfer. So it's even more important to make sure that you manage any credit that you do have as well as you possibly can do.
Is that something that you think is potentially going to change over the next 12 months, or something that should be looked at more by politicians, really, in terms of with the upcoming election?
Yeah, I think access to financial products on the island is limited. If you look across the whole range of things, we've got six main lenders in terms of mortgages. We've got officially one credit card that you can actually get, and then another one, which is more like a sort of a charge card, or two charge cards, I think they're sort of available. So we have certain limitations on that. We've only got two term assurance providers. One of the large ones actually bought the third one, which we used to use. So if you want to buy life insurance now, basically we are limited to two main providers. So there is a slight restriction in terms of what we can offer to our clients in terms of the sort of financial planning world. And it would be great to see government maybe sort of focus and see if they can encourage some other providers here. We have worked with the government on this, and we have spoken to several providers, certainly in the life insurance field, to see if that's something possible. But the problem is with the catchment area of the Isle of Man, it doesn't seem to be as viable. We're still trying. But at the moment, as I say, we do have those restrictions.
That is Paul Chase from Financial Options here in Douglas.
Manx Radio Travel, serviced by Quayside Tyres.
Well, in the past couple of seconds, just to let you know, the steam packet has cancelled this evening's sailing to Heysham, which was scheduled to go at 7:15. Obviously, that means the overnight has been cancelled as well. If you've got any interest in that, then contact the reservations team, 661 661, if you need to reschedule your sailing. All looking okay down at the airport, although the 6 p.m. Liverpool flight with Logan Air has been delayed until 7:30. That arrival. Nothing to report on the police pages. Just a reminder, the mountain road is closed until midday tomorrow. And the only other work going on around the island is in Braddon. There are temporary lights on Cool Road. That's just near the business park. It's 24 hours a day, and that is for work on the pavements.
Manx Radio Travel, serviced by Quayside Tyres. Call Quayside Tyres on 664417 to book your free vehicles winter check so your vehicle is safe for you and other road users.
It's just gone 5:15. So if you've been listening throughout December, you will likely be familiar with the name Albert Johnson. The Kurt Michael man has been undertaking a challenge to run 31 marathons in 31 days. And it's all in memory of his friend Graham Brew. And he has been raising money for autism initiatives. Now, we were there on New Year's Eve when he crossed the finish line just outside Kurt Michael Fire Station. But actually, he didn't end there. He's been telling Lewis what he got up to in the days following that.
I ended with the grand finale. It was just over 50k on the last day at the fire station. But then on the Thursday, I did a 27 miler with 2,500 feet climbing in it. And then on the Friday, I did another nearly 28 miles with about 750 feet of climbing in it. And then on Saturday, I managed just 4.5 miles due to my left leg playing up. It went into a bit of a spasm. I think I've torn a ligament or something just above my knee. I decided that it was wise to call it quits and hang up the gloves, I suppose.
So this is the thing. When we were talking outside Kurt Michael Fire Station, I said, are you planning to rest now? You weren't quite entirely sure. Little did we know that you had even more plans to run even further in the next couple of days.
Yeah, I mean, I've actually sort of just recently found out that there's a record that's held by a fella called Steve Edwards, whereby he's ran 10 marathons consecutively over 10 days and his average time was 3 hours 32 minutes. And if you actually took the average to my 30 marathon, so I've done three times as much as him, the average to mine is about 3 hours 3 minutes, something like that. But yeah, my fastest was about 2 hours 47, with my slowest being 3 hours 14. So I'm pretty gobsmacked. I think maybe next time I might have to do 10 marathons back to back consecutively officially in order to be a world record holder. But just the fact that I know that I'm capable of doing it in itself is very humbling and very satisfying, to say the least.
Any kind of idea in your mind now when you might be able to take that on?
Well, I'm quite an impatient person, so yeah, I'll be looking to do that in the not too distant future, shall we say, my good man. And obviously you'll be the first person to know when I draw that up and make a commitment on that.
Isn't he incredible? Albert Johnson talking to Lewis there. And what was really lovely is that when Lewis spoke to him yesterday, Albert was so giving about Adam Horsey, who was doing his ultra marathon along the promenade, and spoke really highly of him as well, and was going to go down and give him some support. So Albert, not only did he complete 30 marathons and 3 ultra marathons consecutively, he's now got his sights on that world record. And at the time we're talking now, he's raised over just £9,000 for autism initiatives, which is incredible. 5:18. So have you made a New Year's resolution yet? Was it something to do with weight? Because it's that time of year when gym memberships spike, diet companies start rubbing their hands together, people look to shift some of those extra Christmas pounds. Well, we've got an intuitive eating counsellor here on the Isle of Man who's really urging us to rethink what we consider to be healthy. Dr. Beth Goodwin is from Life for Everybody and has been giving us her top tips for a healthier 2026.
My answer might be a bit controversial because they're probably the opposite of what we're usually told, especially in January. So tip number one, don't diet. don't count calories, don't drastically cut portion sizes. We have really strong evidence that dieting doesn't work long term. Most people will lose weight, but then most people will also regain the weight, often plus some extra, and often are left feeling like they're a failure. And that cycle of losing and then regaining weight has actually been seen to be far more damaging to our health, both physically and mentally, than it is helpful. So don't diet. Tip two is watch how you talk about food. Notice yourself calling foods bad or naughty and take a pause. When we make food a moral issue, we make it good or bad, we then make ourselves feel good or bad for eating certain foods. But when food is just food and it's not forbidden, it loses its excitement. So a more helpful way to think about food is that all foods have a role. Some foods give us energy, some support our physical health, some bring us pleasure, comfort, connection to other people, and all of it matters, just in a different way. Tip three, don't cut foods out. Unless you have an allergy or a medical reason, there's no strong evidence that if we all cut out a specific food, it will improve our health. Whereas if we can focus on including all foods instead, that tends to lead to a more varied diet, so more nutrients and a better mental health too.
That is Dr. Beth Goodwin, and is the reason that I'll be eating a load of crisps tonight. So, yeah, don't diet this new year. You can find out more from Beth on the Manx Radio website. It's 20 past five. Now, the former TT winner James Hillier says it's devastating to have to withdraw from this year's Dakar Rally due to injury. He's thanking everyone for their support after suffering an arm fracture in a low-speed crash on stage one, which has forced him to pull out of the remainder of the race.
Hi, everyone. Just wanted to do a quick video to say thank you. Appreciate all the messages and comments. Really, really not how, wasn't in the plan, and it's frustrating because help, I genuinely rode reserved slow crash to land awkward on top of my arm on the rocks and ended like this. And also I damaged my left middle finger and I didn't actually get that x-ray, but if it works I could rest now. But yeah, really devastating, but it could have been worse. You know, this game's dangerous. I knew that, I knew the risks. It's just frustrating to A, not finish. That was my goal, was to finish and not be last. Yeah, rubbish. But anyway, appreciate all the comments and support. Still processing everything. The body will fix. It's frustrating, but that's Dakar. So I'm going to hang out at the bivouac for a couple of days and then head home a little early. But make the most of this sunshine and absorb the bivouac atmosphere, the Dakar vibe. It's pretty special here. I like it here. So I don't want to go home just yet. But it also, it's frustrating watching everyone continue riding when I can't. So, and believe me, I've questioned it so many times. I hardly slept last night, asking myself if I can ride with this. And I think I could maybe squeeze a day or two, but no way can I do another 7,500 kilometers. Be too risky, because if I damage the arm more, is that an operation? But also, it's a high risk of crashing again, because I have not got the strength in this arm to control the bike if I get into trouble. So, still accepting that decision, but it's a hard one to swallow, but it's the right decision. So thank you, everyone. Again, thank you all the sponsors that played a part in getting here.
Oh, so disappointing for James Hillier there. 22 minutes past five. Well, we're going to be able to spot the comet Shoemass on the island tomorrow, but we need to use a pair of binoculars, not the naked eye. And this is all according to local astronomer Howard Parkin, MBE, as we can call him now. He says tomorrow the comet, which has an 8.2-year orbit around the sun, will be closest to Earth. But apparently there's also a solar conjunction which starts from today. Here's Howard.
This year in particular, with all the planets we've got in the sky, three of them are the other side of the sun. They're going through what we call solar conjunction. First, you've got the planet Venus, which goes through solar conjunction around the back of the sun on the 6th of January, then Mars on the 9th of January, and then Mercury on the 21st of January. Not particularly interesting from an observational point of view, but from a when we look at the solar system, if you imagine looking down on the solar system, you've got three planets all one side of the sun. We've got Jupiter, the complete opposite side of the sun. There's actually two comets visible in our sky in January. One of them, Comet Schaumas, it's pronounced, is in the constellation of Virgo, but it's below what we call naked eye visibility. It's only going to be visible in binoculars in the constellation of Virgo. And the way to see that is to get your binoculars and just scan round the sky. In a few days' time, actually, the moon will be passing through Virgo, which will be as a bit of a pointer for you. But if you just get your binoculars, or if you've got a small telescope, just scan round the area of Virgo, what we call the bowl of Virgo, and you might see this fuzzy object, which is Comet Schumass, which is not surprising. We knew it was coming, but it's actually at its closest to the Earth, I think, on the 7th of January. But it's still way, way out in space, nothing anything nearest to us. But well worth looking for. There is another one in the southern sky as well, but that's only visible if you live in the southern hemisphere, I'm afraid. And in Virgo, which is like a big letter Y, imagine a big letter Y, and the inside of the Y is the bowl. It's actually its best time to see it is between the 12th and the 29th.
That is Howard Parkin, MBE. He's absolutely brilliant, and you can find out more details, as ever, on the Manx Radio website. 24 minutes past five. Here's Rob now with the sports news, brought to you by The Print Shed.
Fast am I. Starting off, former Isle of Man tennis star Billy Harris has suffered defeat in his second match for Great Britain at this year's United Cup. The former Albany and Castletown player was beaten in three sets by Greece's Stefanos Tsitsipas, 6-4, 1-6, 6-7, in Perth, Australia, yesterday. More generally, that result was part of a 2-1 win for Greece over Great Britain in the final Group E match of this year's series. The other results saw GB's Emma Raducanu lose out in three sets to Maria Sakkari, whilst the British pairing of Neil Skupski and Olivia Nichols were victorious in the mixed doubles against Despina Papamikhail and Stefanos Skalaridis. Following the conclusion of the group phase, Great Britain finished second in Group E, meaning they won't progress to the knockouts. Earlier in the event, Harris did take a straight sets win against Shintaro Mochizuki of Japan on Saturday, the 3rd of January. Elsewhere, and an up-and-coming Isle of Man rugby talent has made his debut in the Gallagher Premiership. Former Southern Nomads and Castle Rushen High School competitor Patrice Bell was used as a second-half substitute for Sale Sharks during the team's encounter with Bristol Bears on Friday, the 2nd of January. In a closely fought contest, Sharks went on to narrowly lose the contest by a 19-17 scoreline, which saw them secure a losing bonus point. Also involved during the game was 2023 Isle of Man Sportsman of the Year, Bevan Rodd, who was named in the starting 15 before making way for Simon McIntyre in the 60th minute. Elsewhere, whilst it was Bell's maiden appearance in the league, he made his overall senior debut for the Sale Sharks first team in February last year, as the team narrowly beat Newcastle Falcons in the Premiership Rugby Cup. And in football, tributes are being paid following the death of Maloo AFC club president Brian Ace Lowy. The Southern club says it's deeply saddened to hear of Mr. Lowy's passing, adding he was the definition of a Ballasalla man, devoted to his club and respected by all those who knew him. As well as being a member of Maloo's 1966-67 team, which won every game it played that season on the way to promotion, Maloo also says he was more than a player, coach and official. He was part of the heart of the village.
Rob, thank you very much indeed. And as ever, you can find out all the very latest sports news by going to the Manx Radio website. We've also got our sports Facebook page as well. That is all from Update this evening. Just a reminder that the steam packet sailing to Heysham tonight that was scheduled for 7:15 has been cancelled. That's because of the weather. It obviously means the overnight has been cancelled as well. But all looking okay as scheduled for the morning as things stand. Coming up next, it is an Island Life special. Now, you're going to be hearing a lot more Manx throughout this year because it is the year of the Manx language. And the Nation Station and the Mother Tongue is kicking off this after Update just now. After that, from 6, Chris Kinley will be here with Greatest Hits. Then it's The Folk Show with John Barker from 9. And Dave Moore will be with you from 10 with After Hours. So whatever you're doing this evening, have a good one. Breakfast will be with you with Ben from 6, and Update will be back at 5 tomorrow.